What's up, guys? This is David Thompson, your host for Believe in NC State Football. This is the first podcast that we've done, and I know we're in the middle of the season, but what an incredible time to jump in on this NC State football program. I suppose introductions are in order. Like I said, my name is David Thompson. I am the USA Today beat writer for NC State football. And I've been doing it now for about a year and a half. I jumped in last year, about mid-season. It's actually last year at the Miami game during the pandemic, which was interesting to say the least. But in the last year or so, I've learned so much about these players, this program, and this fan base. You know, I've gone to tailgates. I've met a lot of different people. And it is truly one of the most passionate fan bases that I've ever experienced. I'm from Texas, Austin, Texas, originally. And Longhorn fans are absolutely passionate, but NC State, it's slightly different. It feels like it's rooted in something a little bit deeper. Austin is a pretty incredible city, and I think sometimes there's so much to do there that if the Longhorns aren't particularly good, interest wanes. You know, there's always the diehards. But I feel like at NC State, maybe because Raleigh's a little smaller, there's a more community. And there's just a little more passion, I think. And it's been fun just to kind of see the ups and downs of this fan base in this season. You know, this team is 6-2, bowl eligible after 8 weeks. And I really do think if you ask the average NC State fan, you say, hey, 8 weeks into the season, you're bowl eligible. Are you happy? The majority are going to say yes. Sure, there are that small contingent of fans that believe, hey, this team should win a national championship every year. But I think most of us know that that's not really realistic. But where they are right now, which is they control their destiny in the ACC Atlantic Division, on track potentially to win their first ACC championship and go to the ACC championship in Charlotte for the first time ever. I mean, that's huge for this program. That's huge for head coach Dave Dorn. He's been here 9 seasons, and they've had some pretty competitive teams. But where they are right now is very exciting. You know, they released the college football playoff rankings last night. NC State sitting at number 19. That's pretty good for a 2-loss team. And there's a lot of talk about how this team doesn't get national respect, but that's kind of a show of national respect. So yeah, where this team is right now is a good place, and they're right on track for all the goals that they talked about preseason. So that's got to be exciting for the fan base. And this week, NC State travels to Florida State, a team that started 0-4, looked pretty bad, lost to Jackson State after giving Notre Dame a run for their money in the beginning of the season. We think, oh, Florida State's going to be a good team. They start 0-4. Then they win 3 straight. They lose last week to Clemson. But it's a team that looks pretty good. It's an interesting team. It's a team that creates turnovers. It's a team that runs the ball pretty well. And we know that NC State's one big issue this year has not been the run game. That's not where I'm going. That's the best thing that they do, despite having a lot of losses on this defense. This team doesn't travel very well. They're 5-0 at Carter-Finley. They're 1-2 on the road. Losses to Mississippi State, losses to Miami, big win over Boston College. So I think that's the concern, is going back to Florida. How does this team do on the road? How do they deal with an enemy environment? And how do they deal with expectations, right? This team is a perennial underdog. So when they start being favorites, sometimes you see them slip a little bit. That's what we saw in the Miami game. And Miami might be a better team than we expected. We've seen that over the last couple weeks. You know, it was, oh, Manny Diaz is going to get fired. And now it's like, oh, wow, let's give this guy a contract extension. So maybe Miami's not as bad as we thought. But I think anyone watching that game knows that NC State was a few plays away from leaving Miami with a win. So anyway, just a couple of thoughts getting off my head here at the beginning. What this podcast is really going to be about, and there's plenty of NC State podcasts out there, and they're all pretty good. First of all, the hope is in the next couple weeks that we're going to bring in a co-host, a former Wolfpack player, NFL player, someone who can give us some really incredible insight and gives me someone to talk to, because personally, I just enjoy that sounding board, and it would be great to have that name and someone just really interesting to talk to. And I know fans, you guys would love that way more than to hear it from the fake David Thompson. But also, you know, we're going to have different interviews, and what I'm really excited about. So on our first episode this week, we have an interview with current player, wide receiver Porter Rooks, a guy who is a part of NC State's really incredible wide receiver corps, a unit that really is one of the best in the country if you think about it. Quarterback Devin Leary completed 10 passes to 10 different receivers last game, and that just shows really the depth that they have right now. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're going to get into just his progression on this team, the way he's trying to be a bigger part of this offense and in a really crowded offense at the moment. And I think we'll just talk about anything that kind of we want to. And I think that's what's so fun about these podcasts is we'll talk about football, but get to know Porter Rooks a little bit more. And I'm really excited to have this avenue to do that, to not only bring you the stories that I do each week with the USA Today Network, but to bring a little bit more of a voice to that and to accompany that with something even more interesting. So with that said, you know, thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this. And hopefully each week it'll get better. I'll figure out how to do this a little bit better. But for right now, let's get into this interview with Porter Rooks. All right, I'm here with Porter Rooks, wide receiver for NC State. Porter, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, hanging in there. So you are our first ever guest. How does that feel?
It's an honor. I didn't know that. It's an honor. I appreciate you having me.
Well, that's good, man. We're happy to have you. So let's just talk about this team a little bit. You know, you guys are 6-2, right where you want to be, 3-1 in the ACC. I mean, what's it like in the locker room day to day right now?
You know, we all have pretty high spirits. You know, we know what we're capable of. We just got to come to play each week. And we know that if we do that, you know, there's not many teams that can stop us, if any. You know, we take a lot of pride in our preparation. We practice hard. We practice deliberate. We're focused. Every rep is a champ rep, we like to say. Even when not me specifically, but even when, let's say, the two isn't in the game, we're taking those mental reps and putting ourselves in those positions. So when we are in that game and we maybe get that same look, you know, that's not foreign to us. Hmm. So we try to just stay next man up and do our 111.
Yeah, I mean, it the wide receiving room is crowded, to say the least. Yeah. Is it like, what's it like in there right now? If it's like, it almost feels like there's almost not enough reps to go around, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, we're a talented group, and we all know that. Especially with this whole COVID situation, where everybody gets an extra year of eligibility, we're a lot deeper than we necessarily should be. But it works out the best for us. You know, even with me and the other young guys, we get to look up to America, DC, Thayer, CJ Riley, which he's been here for 6 years, I believe. So 5 years, I believe. So, you know, just having all those older guys still in the room, having somebody to look up to and kind of paving the way for us. And with our young talent, and we all know we can play. Like I said, taking those mental reps is big for us, and bringing that maturity to the room, and having our young guys just as mature as our older guys, you know.
So, there's like a bunch of old dudes on this team. Do you guys make fun of them sometimes, or just for being like so old and still in college? Or
Yeah, sometimes, you know, a couple people get the uncle tag or the grandpa tag, but it's all jokes. We appreciate their wisdom always.
Who would you say is kind of like the vocal leader among the wide receivers?
I'll definitely say Emeka and DC are the two most vocal. You know, DC has a big personality. You know, his aura is gonna rub off in the room regardless wherever he is. And then Emeka, he just brings so much passion to the game and so much preparation. It just means everything to us. having somebody to directly look up to that we see every day, we get to talk to every day. And all of those guys take us with open arms. You know, their line of communication is always open for us. And we don't take that for granted at all. If I want to pick one of their brains, I know I can, and there's no animosity or there's no reluctance to it.
You got someone cooking in the kitchen right now? Is that what I hear?
Oh, no. That's a little squeaky chair, actually.
Okay. That's funny. I got the same issue over here, man. I get it.
I know. I've had a couple of linemen sit in these chairs. You know, Big Ick just sit in this chair, you know. So
so for you, it feels like you still haven't quite had your breakout game. What's missing or do you feel like you're getting closer or kind of just talk about your progression just since you've got here to where you are now?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's going to come. I'm not an impatient person, so to speak. I understand my role in the offense and it's only going to grow. I just look to be somebody that my teammates can rely on. I know I say that a lot, but that's really what it's all about. Making those plays when they come my way, you know, just for instance, last game, you know, they went to me on a big third down and I didn't come up with it, but I told them, boys, I'm gonna get it back for you. Mm. You know, that's just kind of the love we have for each other. And it's just, and when things like that happen, you just feel like you let your team down, you know, that's where I'm at with it mentally. I just want to be somebody that my team can rely on and, you know, help put wins on the board. Mm.
Yeah, totally. Is there, hold on. What am I trying to say here? This is great podcast stuff right there. And it's nothing better than some empty air. I'm going to do some editing right here, man. Let me tell you, I've never actually done this before. It's kind of weird to like, it feels less personal, which is not my favorite, but, let's talk a little bit about the Miami situation. It's during the first half, you make a catch and you run into a security guard. It's a lady and she's like out. Right. Yes. Can you kind of just take me through what happened and what you saw in that experience?
Okay. Yeah. So, I believe it was third down, I believe. And, Devin Leary, he rolled out the pocket, where, so I was working scramble drill. I rolled out to, I guess it was my left, and I'm trying to run with him. He throws it. I mean, he almost throws it away, but I'm thinking I can get to it. You know, it's kind of close. And I try to toe tap on the sideline. Ball barely misses my hands, and as soon as I look up, I mean, she was standing right there. I'm talking about 5 yards off the five yards off the field of play with her back turned. So. I was trying to do my best maybe to possibly avoid her, but there was no chance. So I did my best to catch her. And I just hate that she took that fall. And I was trying to check on her, see if she was okay. But I hate that. And I hope something changes with how they're positioned on the field. I think it's pretty dangerous because they're not allowed to, you know, look and see what's coming their way. Or, you know, we're playing at full speed. You know, we're not really, you know, we're playing at full speed with no type of, I guess, gear down, you know. So when I'm running out of bounds, I'm coming at her 110% full speed, you know. So I can only imagine how that felt. And I really wish I could apologize to her personally, but I wish I could go out of the way. I hope she's okay. I haven't heard anything yet, but I'm hoping she's okay. I think she is, though.
Yeah, I mean, how do you kind of like – Yeah, and that's the scary part of those situations is, you know, you'll hear it like on the TV broadcast. Well, we'll hope she's okay. Well, back to the action. And you're like, for you, mm-hmm. you're like, you were just part of this impact thing. You see this woman unconscious on the ground. Like, how do you get back into the game and try to refocus after something like that?
Yeah, I'm honestly, it did take me, you know, a couple minutes, you know, when I initially ran into her, I attempted to catch her, but I would just come with too much speed and she had no clue I was coming. So her body was extremely limp, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was hard to actually prevent her from hitting the ground. And then after the fact, when I realized she was down and hasn't got up yet, I try to go down there and kind of rub on her back and tell her I'm sorry. And, you know, I took a knee right next to her to kind of show my condolences a little bit. But I mean, and you know, multiple people came up to me on the sideline. Hey, you know, there's nothing you could have done about that. You know, I know it's unfortunate, but because I mean, I took it kind of hard. You know, that's I mean, I hate that for her because she could have really seriously been hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm in full equipment. You know, I don't know. Maybe my face mask could have hit in the back of the head. Anything could have happened. You know. And I'm protected because I'm in full gear, you know. Right. So I mean, I definitely feel for her, but hopefully I can try to hit a quick spin move or something next time. Hopefully I don't have to run that issue again.
Well, I think you said it best. It's like they're so close to the action, and then their job is to look at the crowd. It's like it seems like such a weird thing that they're not pointed towards you, because it's like, because then those things happen, they're so close, there's no time for them to move.
Exactly. I just hope at least they would get a little bit closer to the stands, away from the sideline, because there's no way on earth that I could have avoided her, because I literally took one step out of bounds and she's right in my face, you know.
So I'm hoping
that gets fixed amongst many stadiums, especially NFL stadiums, because it seems like the NFL stadiums are the actual crowd seats are a lot closer to the field. Mm. You know, she's standing really close to the sideline, you know.
So yeah, and you know, and I really hope you get some closure with that, because I know that's probably the worst part, is just the not knowing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, let's
her job, you know.
Say that again. What were you gonna say?
She was just trying to do her job, you know.
Yeah.
She didn't ask for that at all. So.
Yeah, you know, I before this I was covering high school football, and I had a photographer who was, I mean, she was this little thing. She's like 5'2", 95, 100 pounds. And she was taking shots of the band and got, you know, a play went rolled to the right where she wasn't expecting it. And she got hit, blindsided. She was in the hospital for like a week, man. Like it, you know, it was terrifying. It was really scary. And
especially when your body's not ready for impact, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Even though you know, you wonder if that's like a good thing. They say sometimes if you fall, if you go limp, it's better. So maybe that's, mm-hmm. But I mean, there's no good situation there for sure. But
yeah, definitely.
Well, okay. Well, we'll go back to happier things, I guess, with this question. You know, you guys have struggled on the road, right? Has it been the losses to Mississippi State and Miami? Is it just because of the teams you're playing? Is there something particularly difficult about just road trips in general that we don't see? Like, we know that playing, you know, against an angry fan base is a little tougher, but is it just like the accumulation of the travel and all that's kind of tough? Or give me some.
I don't think so. I feel like, I mean, those two games they just weren't our games. You know, we didn't execute the way we know how. They didn't do anything to surprise us necessarily. For that time being, it was the better team that night. And we know if that game was ever played again, you know, we would definitely come to play and execute the way we know how. But as road games, home games, our home games are amazing. They're electric. You know, our crowd is our 12th man. But in those away games, you got to bring your own energy. And I feel like we do a good job of that. But we just got to execute a little better and not get, you know, when they take a swing at us, you know, we got to be ready to swing back and swing a couple more times, a couple body blows, you know. But that's just the main thing, is just taking it one play at a time, one series at a time, putting series together. You know, I feel like offensively, sometimes we get, you know, kind of out of rhythm. And we have the firepower. I feel like that we can move the ball every drive, you know. And we know that we just gotta play to that potential every drive, not just every game, every drive, every play. We'll see wonders, and it comes together. And when you see it come together, you know, we look unbeatable.
Yeah, I mean, you saw that in the Louisville game. It's like three quarters, you guys are struggling, and then it's like something just happens.
Yeah,
and for us up there in the press box, it's kind of tough to know exactly what switch is being flipped. Is there something like on the sideline where you're like, you can look at Devin Leary and be like, oh boy, it's about to happen? Or, you know, like what, how does that happen? Is it just he's sort of clutch in that way, or you guys just, it takes a while to get going?
Nah, Devin's a guy that every single series. It doesn't matter if we ended on a score or we went three and out. He's coming in. He's high-fiving everybody, telling everybody, it's 1-0, 1-0, keep going. And, you know, let's put another drive together. Or if defense gets or they punt the ball and they down at the one, let's go 99. You know, that's just him. He's going to go talk to his whole line. You know, let's got it. We got it. We got it. Let's move, you know. He's a very positive dude, and he takes pride in it. He takes care of the football, as we've seen. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. You know, to have a quarterback like that, it means everything, because you know it's easy to get kind of down or even just the slightest bit of doubt, you know. But he never has a doubt in his mind that what we can do and what he can do with the ball in his hands.
So how do you guys, you know, get off to a fast start against Florida State?
You just got to come out and execute, you know, whether it's in the pass game or run game. You know, in the run game, receivers, we got to block downfield to make sure our running backs get through the second level. And in the pass game, we got to execute, you know, on the little things. Focus on every catch, focus on every route, focus on the route depth, everything. I feel like we just got to play our brand of football. You know, we always say it's not about them. It's always about us. You know, when we play our brand of football, we're a really tough team to run in. Even when we're playing bad, you know, we're still a very tough team. You know, it's something about our DNA. It's something about how we operate, how we're wired. You know, we're just a gritty team. But when we put that grit with the level of execution that the coaches demand out of us and that we demand out of each other, it could really be special.
So I was looking back at your high school career and I saw that you transferred. I think it was Providence Day to, was it Myers Park? Because you're a Charlotte kid, right?
Yes.
So how come you transferred? What's going on with that?
I think I want to play a little bit stiffer competition and public school ball, and I also wanted to ensure that I graduated early and make sure I come up here in the spring and get that extra semester under my belt, also to be on track to graduate in 3 years, you know, and having a little bit of cushion with that. I just feel like the transfer to public school was strictly personal. It was just for what I wanted to do. It was nothing against Providence Day. I had a great time there. I never regret going there. I feel like everything happens for a reason. But it was time to spread my wings a little bit and kind of experience a different environment. I enjoyed my time and I'm thankful for both schools, Myers Park and Providence Day, for, you know, my time there and my development there, because I developed tremendously at both.
So what do you study at NC State? What's your major?
I'm a sports manager right now.
Sports manager. So what does that mean?
I take a lot of a lot of classes all around sports, but also taking management roles, a couple of business classes, things like that. I think I might minor in business actually, so it'll go hand in hand together. So I'm just looking forward to kind of getting into the meat of my major classes. I haven't gotten into too many yet, but this next semester, it's crazy to think of, but I'm approaching my junior year in the classroom. So
It goes fast, man. Let me tell you, enjoy it.
I'm telling you.
So let's say dream job outside of NFL, it would be.
I would say run my own kind of sports mentor organization. I don't know if you're familiar with House of Athlete. Brandon Marshall runs that, and I would like to do something like that, just to kind of give back to the young athletes that's coming up and had the same inspirations as I did, and you know, things like that, just kind of spreading my knowledge. But I definitely want to stay around sports, not even football specifically. I'm a sports guy in general, so I just want to kind of give back. It's not necessarily to the youth, because some of those guys are getting ready for pro days, getting ready for or coming back in the off season. They're professionals, come back in the off season. You know, I just want to be around sports and be around people that are motivated and, you know, things like that.
Well, yeah, and I know you're into all kinds of sports. And your brother, he played basketball at Clemson, right?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
What's he up to now?
He's actually a data analyst. I can't quote you on don't quote me on the name of the company, but he's a data analyst. I can't even explain his position, but it's something about foreign cargo ships. He explained it to me, but I'm not.
That's fine. I get it.
He's doing well. Really well.
Okay, that's awesome. It's funny, you know, my sister has some high powered job too, and they're like, what does she do? And I'm like, I don't know, she makes a lot of money. And that's
good. Yeah, it makes good money, makes his own living, so that's all I can. Yeah, you know, I'm proud. He made the transition from, you know, full-time sports and expecting to play professional. And you know, I mean, I feel like, because his was based off injury, you know. And so, you know, kind of making that transition is always hard, but I'm just proud of him, how he found his way. And he's doing well for himself.
So tell me something that not many people know about you. They know so much about you as a football player, but who's Porter Rooks outside the field?
Something that people don't know about me. That's a good one. I would say, something they don't know about me. I don't know. I feel like I'm a pretty open book. Let me think.
I mean, this is the first time we've met, so I don't know a lot about you. So you don't have to dig, you know, you don't have to go too deep, but.
Let's see. I like movies. I like shows, but I don't know. I feel like so much of my life is consisted around football, and that's just kind of my main focus. So it's kind of hard to find other hobbies because, you know, in my free time, usually I'm watching film on my own, watching practice or watching NFL film or doing extra sit-ups, doing extra push-ups, just doing something, trying to give myself an edge, you know. Like I said about the transition from sports, my brother had a hard time transitioning from being a full-time basketball player to, you know, I don't even play at all anymore, you know, so he has to completely find his interest, you know. And I feel like I'm glad you asked me that. I feel like I do need to do some soul searching and find some interest outside of my sport, you know, because, you know, football, of course, doesn't last forever. But I'm glad you asked me that. I got to do some soul searching on that.
I'm glad we can dig deep in here, man. But have you ever played Desert Island? You know that game?
I haven't. I'm not sure what that is.
It's basically because you said you're big into movies and TV, which I am as well. It's you know, if you were stuck on a desert island, you could bring five movies. What movies are you bringing with you?
Ooh, five movies. Okay. Five movies. Ooh. To narrow down a list of five. Okay, I would say. Okay. Of course, I have to put some classics.
Yeah. And you got to think about it too. It's not necessarily your favorite. It's like the movies that you don't mind watching over and over again.
Okay. I'll say King Kong. I can watch King Kong over and over.
Which one?
Any of them. I would say probably the Godzilla vs. Kong. That was really good.
Okay.
I could watch that. I would say Black Panther. Awesome. Black Panther.
Wakanda Forever. I'm here.
Wakanda Forever. You know? But I'm a big Spider-Man fan. Love Spider-Man. So
who's your Spider-Man though? Because my Spider-Man is Tobey Maguire, but you're a little younger than me. So
personally, I don't care. I don't even, as long as you're in the Spider-Man suit, you cool with me, you know?
Okay.
But Tom Holland, I think Tom Holland did a good job.
Oh, dude. No doubt.
I feel like he brought a little bit of light to Spider-Man. You know, he kind of brought a little bit of comedy, a little bit of looseness, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like some of the guys were kind of a little bit uptight, you know? But,
yeah.
You know, Tom Holland did a good job with it. I'm not mad at it at all. I don't have a preference. You know, I watch any of the Spider-Man movies. As long as I see that suit and I'm throwing them webs, I've always been fascinated with it. What am I at, three?
Yeah, so we got King Kong, Black Panther, and then Spider-Man.
Mm. Then I would say The Dark Knight.
Ooh.
Dark Knight, of course.
A Batman. I love that.
I know. And the thing is, this fifth one is gonna make me mad because I know I'm leaving something out, you know? But I'm just going to have to go with a classic Friday.
Friday.
Any of the Fridays. Fridays after next. Did you lose me? All right, cool.
Well, and so I know that Zonovan and Ricky, they got their nicknames, but not after the original, though.
Oh, no, that's the original. Craig and Day-Day, that's the... No, you're right. That's
because Day-Day, it comes after.
Yeah, it's Friday after next. Next Friday and Friday after next.
Yeah,
no doubt.
So you're into
that was hilarious when they first come up with that. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that's not what I was. I was like, Craig and Day-Day? Oh, okay.
I feel like you just got to know him. And Zonovan, he's a character. He's definitely Day-Day. Zonovan, you just got to know him. Being around him every day, it was just so funny when they came up with it. That was too relatable.
Yeah, I thought that was, I was surprised because you're thinking, okay, there's Bam. So you're thinking like, you know.
But Ricky's funny too. So they could either, they could intertwine between Craig and Day-Day really if they wanted to.
You got any nicknames?
I don't really, some people call me Rocket just because it's my Instagram name. Mm. Rocket. But other than that, you know, people just call me P, Porter, Rooks, call me my last name a lot. Abbreviated, put a P Rooks, but I don't really have any necessary nicknames. I don't.
If you could come up with your own nickname, you know, if you could be like, this is it, they're calling me Spider from now on. Is that like, what, do you have anything you'd want to do?
I feel like the best nicknames are the ones that just stick on their own, you know?
Yeah.
And so I couldn't put a finger on it, but.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. I'm going to ask you just a couple more random questions because I'm kind of enjoying this. We're like, you know.
I am too.
Yeah. So this is an easy one, but it's always interesting. If you could have a superpower, which one are you picking?
Ooh, if I got one superpower?
Yeah.
Man, that's a loaded question. If I had one superpower, I don't think I want to fly. I think I want to.
Wait, why wouldn't you want to fly?
I don't know. I just feel like if I had to pick one, I feel like that wouldn't be one. I don't know. Mm. I feel like I'd rather be super fast. I feel like if you're super fast, like Dash, if you're super fast, you can still play sports and you can still get places very fast. You know, I feel like that would be a superpower I could use. And you don't ever get slow. You know, you'd be old and still fast. So
that's fair. I feel like, though, if you had super speed, there'd be some sort of NCAA rule, the Porter Rooks rule. Like, if you have a superpower, I'm sorry, man, you can't play wide receiver here.
That's when you just tone it down like Dash did. Just tone it down just to win by a little bit.
Okay.
Separate from the defender just that much, you know. I don't know, but you could always go with psychological superpowers, like be able to read somebody's mind. That would be incredible, you know. That would be extremely empowering, you know. But I think I'll take the speed, though. I think I'll take the speed.
All right, let's finish on a slightly more serious note.
Okay.
Can you talk about sort of a moment of adversity in your life that it maybe you think defines you a little bit or has, you know, propelled you to where you are? Just, you know, a moment that's, you know, is very important to you.
I think, well, of course, God forbid, knock on wood, I haven't had to suffer through many injuries, but I've had surgery on my wrist, you know, and as a receiver, that's kind of hard to go through. You know, you use your hands so much. I feel like it's a turning point for me because I didn't let that slow me down at all. Like I had a full live cast on my left wrist and I'm going out there running routes, just catching everything one handed, you know, regardless of where it is. You know, I feel like, so just the little things like that, I feel like it kind of put things in perspective where although I can't lose a step, you know, I'm still going to return to play. And when I return to play, they're going to expect the same out of me, you know, and I'm going to expect more out of myself personally. So I feel like that was the adversity that kind of, I would say more so mentally, it switched my mindset, you know?
And this was during, was this high school or NC State?
This was actually when right after the spring, right after my first spring here, when COVID first hit. So right when COVID hit, I got surgery and, you know, I was doing my recovery process at home. But everything worked out well. So I said, I'm just thankful that, you know, it's for a fast, speedy recovery, a full recovery at that.
Oh, I didn't realize you'd had surgery. That's interesting.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. All right. Breaking news. You heard it here first on the Believe podcast. Well, Porter, thank you so much for your time, man. I really appreciate you being a part of this and, you know, good luck on Saturday against Florida State.
No doubt. I appreciate you. Appreciate you having me. First time guest, man. That's an honor, man. I appreciate you.
I couldn't have asked for anyone else, man. I can't wait to bring you on again.
All right. Sounds good. Just let me know. I'm down.
All right, man.